Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Welcome back to another edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as they always do at this time of week, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, and the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Let's start with Moods, though. Do your bloody lap of honour. We're not necessarily in good health, Moods. We're in reasonable health because In Good Health didn't win, but you did tip Media Award in the Oaks at 80-1.
Yes, no, well, it's not nice to be right about 10, 12 weeks in a row, Rog. Not only once in a row, but never mind. Media Award, my old mate Trumby Nolan, and got the money, Chris Kelthorpe, one of the racing's great blokes, first Group 1 winner. I'd reckon it'd be Trumby's first Group 1 winner for a good few years also. Media Awards saluted there in the Australasian Oaks. Great to see my old mate and neighbour, Philip Stokes, win the I think it's, what's it called? The Tab Classic or whatever. And, no, we're not allowed to say Tab on a Ladbrokes show.
Well, you've said it twice now, Moods, so, you know, just keep rolling.
Right, good to see the good company man there. And
Diet Cola Stakes, as Tab used to be.
Yeah, so that's right. There you go. So Philip Stokes got the money with Instant Celebrity. And my good thing of the day, In Good Health, she wasn't in the best of health. She ran fourth in the Mayor's Group too. But more importantly, I won a carton of these beauties. A carton of big bottles off my co-host and partner, Anthony Mithen, because Thousand Wishes... Well, Thousand Wishes got ran over by the ambulance at the 300 while In Good Health was still battling it out in front after Thousand Wishes annoyed the piss out of it up on the speed. And I believe In Good Health was probably 28 lengths in front of it. So I believe the bet was...
The bet was if your horse wins and beats mine, I'll give you a cut. And if my horse wins and beats yours, well, you give me a cut. That's how... You can't and get the prize.
You're going to have to go to the bunker. Third umpire here.
Yours ran 48th after annoying the piss out of me and setting the race up for its stable mates. And mine
You're going to pay back all those punters that you tipped as your best bet In Good Health and it's run fourth? They don't pay out on fourth, Peter.
They've all sent me a carton because they all backed up and got out on Media Award at 80-1, Anthony. If you were smart, you would have done it. You could have given me 80 cartons. If you had to put one carton on Media Award, you could have dropped 80 around to me. So you're lucky to get out. You're lucky to get out with one carton. Thousand Wishes. They've still got the gurney out at Emblance, South Australia, scraping it off from underneath it when it ran over it at the 300. You must have forgot to nom it for the Bairnsdale picnics.
Resident Rain Man, welcome to you. I do like it when Mum and Dad fight early off the top of the show. It was a good effort. And we did get some texts on the text messages, social media messages, saying that they did follow Moods into Media Awards. There's some pretty happy punters out there.
Yeah, very well played from Moods once again. He's just absolutely flying at the moment in the tipping space. I think Instant Celebrity was an interesting winner of the stakes. I think she's going to be an interesting filly going forward. Into her four-year-old season as a mare. I think she showed plenty of promise as a young horse. She was a 1,000 guineas favourite. Still been on a really lightly raced from Philip Stokes. So interesting just how far she'll be able to get as she furnishes into an older mare. But it was a really impressive win there in the Sangster. And as Mood said, really good to see Philip Stokes land another Group 1 win.
And great for Luke Nolan, as he mentioned, to get a Group 1 as well. But he didn't win a race with Moods. And to be honest, In Good Health the blame has to lay fairly and squarely on you, Ray, man. You bought up that 800. Mytho thought that would mean 1,000, which was going to get up. Moods then dived into it, which he hasn't done in the past, and completely fucked it for everyone.
Yeah, we're still on 799. I noticed that Nolan doesn't seem to have many rides for Moods this week. So maybe they're really getting the nervous 90s with Moods and Nolan at the moment. So just trying to maybe have a couple of weeks off and then maybe we can sneak the 800th in there in a bit of an off-Broadway meet in the next few weeks.
How's that loyalty going now, Moods? I thought loyalty was a rare thing in life, let alone racing. You haven't put him on anywhere, have you, over the weekend?
Well, he's suspended, dickhead.
I thought we're getting as nervous as, like, you know, Michael Slater and Steve Waugh when they got into the 90s. But no, look, that's a good excuse. I just got to say, on the Oaks, I tipped Rip Arita in that race. So if you'd thrown Moods' tip and my tip and somehow just thrown in the BRC Oaks winner in personal, trifecta paid between $7,000 and $14,000. So hopefully someone did it. I sure as hell didn't, but hopefully someone did. Brooklyn Hustle was perhaps the one we all lined up on as well. Brooklyn Hustle in the Sangster, run, of course, by Instant Celebrity. Is she ever going to win a Group 1, Mitho? Is she going to go to the Goodwood?
I reckon we're going to change tack and go to the Proud Miss. There you go. You heard it first. Those betting on futures can look up Proud Miss markets on Ladbrokes and see what we're getting, because we just thought that probably we could let her take a breath, and she's in Adelaide. She can stick around there for another couple of weeks. She's settling beautifully. She's enjoying life there. Moods obviously found something funny on his phone, has he? Or is he paying attention? Laughing?
Likes the salt air in Adelaide.
Back to group
reality.
Three level.
Reality.
Yes, right. And just salt in the wound.
Yeah.
Good name for a horse, that, actually. Salt in the wound. Yeah.
Rubbing it in. Yeah.
I'd like you to train it, Peter.
No, yeah, well, it probably looked pretty good with a shadow roller. I can assure you the bastard wouldn't be out the back run on 12 or 14, standing about 10 or 12 lengths. Would be punching it up there with its molars to the breeze, like the great Jack Starry would say. And it wouldn't need the luck you're setting the poor bastard out to require at the moment.
I've just got an apology to make to every punter that is currently listening to this podcast, driving home from Warrnambool after a pretty hectic last 3 days, and they've got to put up with this lunatic fool for the next hour as they break up their trip back from Warrnambool. It would have been...
Bugger if we're going an hour, Mitho, I'll give you the tip.
Punishing enough for them down there on the drink, trying to get a winner, and now they're putting up with Moods and his frivolity. What are you on today, Pete?
4X Ruckman, by the look of it.
A lovely 4X Ruckman at 5 in the evening, Anthony. I'm not quite as sophisticated as yourself with my pinky in the air having a little red wine, as you'd be quite aware. The dog's having a scratch here behind me. He's pretty happy with proceedings. And, he even suggests to me that Brooklyn Hustling should be ridden closer to the speed.
If we draw a barrier, I promise she'll be closer to the speed with the winkers on in the Proud Miss.
Oh, winkers on. Winkers.
Well, she had the winkers.
She had winkers on last week.
She had the winkers on in the Sanctor on Saturday. But
anyway. Yeah, shit, they work. Yeah, no, that's good.
Look at the way she jumped. They did work, but she was pratted out wide because of her barrier, Peter, and therefore forced to go back and take her medicine.
I'm feeling your pain because I, along with our fellow panel members, I think we all found it for the last time.
I just want to break this up a little bit with you. You did say that Salt in the Wound would be a good horse name. I was going through the fields and I did notice a horse name that I think might have got through the Racing Australia that could be interesting for a race caller, and that's Debussy. That's running in race 5 at the Gold Coast on Saturday. So good luck to the race callers who are calling that, if they do it with the right inflection moving forward.
How was it pronounced, Rog?
Debussy.
The Bussy, one of the most powerful weapons in the world. No, let's rephrase that. The most powerful weapon in the world, running in race 5 at the Gold Coast on Saturday, will draw you further than gunpowder will blow you. Has started world wars and brought down kingdoms.
To show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Kachingos! We've Ladbroke the Ladbrokes app and made it faster than ever before. Never miss a minute of the action with the new and improved Ladbrokes app. Download it today.
But let's not stop there. Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
The only Group 1 on the program anywhere in Australia this weekend is the SA Derby. And Rayman, Explosive Jack comes up favourite here in a reasonably open race.
Yeah, looking to win the Tasmanian Derby, the Australian Derby now, the South Australian Derby here, Explosive Jack. And he has come up favourite at $3.20. Lecuero is there on the second line of betting at $5. Personal on the quick backup from the Australasian Oaks is on the third line of betting at $5.50. She's been the early market mover with Ladbrokes, and you've got Deep Strike at $8 and the Inform Royal Mile at $10. I'm probably happy to take on Explosive Jack here. Obviously, he's done absolutely nothing wrong this preparation. He was very, very tough to win at the Australian Derby, but I think Lequiro might be a stay with a bit of promise here. And at the $5, I don't think there should be that gap between them that there is in the market. Lequiro did beat Explosive Jack when these two raced in the Bendigo St. Ledger. Lequiro's came out and beaten Through Irish Eyes last start at Caulfield, who's then come out and won the VRC St. Ledger. So all the form around Lequiro is absolutely outstanding. It's 4 wins from 5 starts. And the scary thing for its rivals is that it keeps improving every time that it's seen at the races. So I think from Barrier 6, we'll get a nice run right up on the speed with Luke Curry in the saddle. He's going to be several lengths in front of Explosive Jack, who does get back. And I will definitely get back from Barrier 10 on Saturday. So I think Lequiro probably should be favourite. I think they should be much closer in the market. So I'd be locking in the $5 available now, because I think Lequiro is going to start much shorter come race day.
Couldn't agree with you more, Rayman. I think Lequiro's got the... Actually, it's pronounced Lequiro now, as we found out last start. So, but yes, the form lines do suggest
that... Is that a veiled reference back to Debussy or...?
No, it's definitely not. There is a nice bit of symmetry there. It's a shame we had that break in between. Otherwise, it would have worked really nicely one into the other, as they tend to do. But I do think that Lequiro might just have Explosive Jack covered. I would have liked to have seen Explosive Jack go up a little bit longer, around $4.50, but $3 is getting a little bit short. No horse has ever won the Tasmanian Derby and the ATC Derby, so there's no reason why the same horse can't go on and just do a bit of a lap around the country, knock over this one, and then perhaps the Queensland Derby as well. But I tend to just side with Lequiro. I think they're the two best horses in the race, and I'll be happy to have a Quinella on Saturday as well. Anyone else? Anyone at all?
Well, I'm gonna tip one at odds. I'm going for the Peter Moody Hail Mary throw it to the end zone 60-1 pop here. Azali for me for.
And you that Hayes, I said that with
her. Did you? Yeah.
Is it by Seamus Award?
Hayes Dabity? No, it's by Dunn Deal. In fact, so there's no other reason other than it comes from an astute camp. That they would be getting some fairly reasonable advice from Angus Gold and team for Shadwell up in Europe as to, you know, do we roll the dice and run this in a Group 1? The horse ran a lovely race in the Geelong Derby trial. They resisted the temptation to go on to the Derby, which I tend to like out of those spring campaigns. It's hard to do, as Peter has... I'm listening, Peter. I was listening when you were our racing manager at Rosemont. Don't always go to the well with those spring staying 3-year-olds, because there's 5 Derbies and 5 Oakses in the autumn that you can front up in. The horse was okay first up in Albury, went and won at Wagga, and then drew wide and had an ordinary torrid sort of a run at Morpheville behind Royal Mile. In that that Group 3 event, I think it was, as a traditional lead-up to this race. So I just like the way it profiles up and couldn't believe it came up those sorts of odds. So Azali at, what are we giving?
$67 now, Mitho. I tend to agree with what you're saying. I think it's always shown plenty of promise, Azali. So, yeah, definitely a bit of value there at the 67s.
That'll do.
Yeah, well, listen, I can't find a roughie as much as I'd like to. I can't go away from the two favourites here. Funny thing, I've got a knock on both. Lequiro, first preparation ever, getting all the way through to the Derby. And Explosive Jack, he's been peaked and peaked and peaked. And you know, credit to the Mar Eustace team, Tasmania, then Sydney, now back to South Australia. Probably slightly to Lequiro, because he's going to be probably half a dozen lengths in front of Explosive Jack at the 600, and that's probably going to give him his chance. But wouldn't surprise me to see either of them get rolled or them clear out and win by 15 lengths. You know, it's one of those things. I think they've got a fair bit on the field if either of them can still turn up on the day. So I think the Quinella will pay 5/8 of fuck all, but have as much on it as you can and
responsibly.
And do it responsibly with Ladbrokes, of course. I've got a soft spot for Explosive Jack. He's a horse that I purchased for good friends in the New Zealand yearling sales a few years ago when I wasn't a trainer. So good luck to Mick Johnson and his partners to see if they can knock off their third derby.
I don't know whether I've mentioned it on the podcast before. I know I've said to Tom, but my wife's got a soft spot for Explosive Jack because our son is Jack and she's had to deal with a number of explosions over the last 6 months early in his life. So she quite likes it as well. A race that, good luck finding a winner in this one. The Hollandale Stakes, the Group 2 over 1,800 up at the Gold Coast. This is probably the best renewal of this race we've ever seen. A stack of Group 1 winners in the field. The combined earnings, according to our good mate Nathan Exelby, of 27, and I could have done the maths myself, but he did it already, 27.5 million. So you've got, it's 550 the field, 50 stars, Villiers, Homesman, Humidor, Melody Bell. I mean, it is absolutely loaded, Rain Man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rog. And we're shaping up for a Dooman Cup for the ages because you don't have all these horses heading towards the Dooman Cup. Throw in Sir Dragon A, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate winner. Throw in Mugatu, the All-Star Mile winner. So this is the strongest edition of the Dooman Cup we've had in many, many years. And I think you're absolutely right. This is the strongest edition of the Hollandale we've had for a while as well. Avilius is the favourite, as you said, Rog, at 550. Zaki, the new horse on the scene, the import for Annabelle Neesham, last start winner ran well in the Doncaster. It's 650. Melody Bell, 750. 50 stars, 850. There's a host of good horses at big prices. And the interesting thing about this race is a lot of the horses in this field do have some really good wet track form. And it's rained all day here in Queensland. And we know the Gold, not meant to be too much rain over the next few days, but the Gold Coast track doesn't drain particularly well. So I think it'll still probably be in the soft range. And there are a number of the horses in this field that definitely prefer the sting out of the ground. And one of those horses is Natoya, who's currently $19 with Ladbrokes. And we know Natoya, she's a bit nuts, but on her day, she's very, very good. She's a Doncaster Mile winner. Last start, she beat Probabil fair and square in the Queen of the Turf Stakes. And she's going around $19 in this race, which I think is well and truly over the odds. She's certainly not the most consistent mare in the world, but on her day, she is capable of a very high rating performance. So, as you said, Roger, an extremely open race. I'm happy to have that little play there, Natoya, because if she brings her A game, she'll be right in this. And she has drawn wide, which I think is an advantage, because oftentimes, especially when it is a bit wet at the Gold Coast, it can play a little bit swoopers towards the end of the day, which will suit Natoya, who'll be storming home late at a big price.
The Melody Bell Farewell Tour is on in earnest. And I just think if the ground does come up a little bit soft, she's obviously got a terrific record on soft ground. And in a race that is a genuine dartboard job, I'm happy to side with Melody Bell and hoping that this tour kicks off in style or continues in style. Mitho?
Well, I'm a bit confused.
It's not the first time.
I thought Natoya was selling on Friday at the chairman's sale. Is that right?
I thought she was going to the Gold Coast, the broodmare sale.
I need to look that up because it's on my iPad that I'm talking to you on, so I can't. But I'll have a little search and see there because, maybe it runs in new colours and ownership changes on Friday and there's Natoya running around in what is a rich race, the Hollandale Stakes for 1,800 Gold Coast on Saturday. We'll wait and see. But nonetheless, I am confused by this race as well. And I feel like I want to tip Mr. Seawolf. And I'm happy to be talked out of that, Rain Man, but I see you nodding. So I just think he's a good, honest, tough horse, and this about suits his mark and his level. He's got his share of weight being weight for age, but I just like the horse. He's always a trier. He seems to get better as his preparation goes on, and his run behind Yardash was full of merit. Second up, I think he can improve barrier one if that's no obstacle. Mr. Seawolf at about, I don't know, I think I'm getting $21 on my screen, Rain Man.
Yeah, I agree. He's a horse that always runs well at this sort of level. And yeah, that last start effort behind Yardash was pretty good. So I definitely wouldn't be talking anyone out of Mr. Seawolf.
I don't disagree with you there, boys, but I just got a slight leaning towards the stable mate in Toffee Tongue. She was good in the Sky High two back, ran well at the weight for age in the Tancred at a mile and a half. Got a fitness edge on a few of her opposition and just drawn slightly wider in barrier five than the stable mate, Mr. Seawolf. I wanted to find him, but as Rain Man rightly pointed out, barrier one could be a graveyard at that time of the day if the track does come up genuine soft. And Toffee Tongue, maybe just with a few more options from the barrier five and a little bit more forward in condition. I know she's only won one for in a hell of a long time, but that was two runs ago. And she's a good mare. So, you know, a lot of chances here, a lot of open race. Luck plays a big part around this Gold Coast circuit, particularly at 1,800 on a wet ground. So, Toffee Tongue, but listen, I wouldn't try and talk you out of anything in the race if you're fancying something.
Mystery Solved too. Natoya has been withdrawn from the chairman's sale on Friday, so they've got cold feet and they want to go the Hollandale instead. Good on them.
Yeah, I think Wendy Roach did say after it won the Queen of the Turf that they once that Group 1 win had come, they were going to pull out of the sale. So, yeah, they've well-deserved and hopefully she wins again Saturday.
Makes sense. You know, mare's in form. It's a tried and tested method. The Gold Coast Guineas is the other of the features at the Gold Coast on Saturday. And Raymond, what's the market look like for this one?
Yeah, it's another good race, this one, Rog. Busher for Team Snowden is the favourite, $4.60. Been a bit of early money for Rocketing By. Simply Fly has been well backed. And then you've got my son here, Amish Boy, at $8, which I think's really good value for a horse that's racing as well as he has been. He doesn't win out of turn. He's only got the one win from 13 starts, but he's raced at the highest level since he started his racing career. And this preparation, he finished second behind AIM in the Magic Millions Guineas. He finished second in the Autumn Stakes behind Poland. He finished third in a Newmarket Handicap at Group 1 level. And then last start finished fourth and not beaten far in a really high rating edition of the Arrowfield Classic at the Championship. So that's really strong form. And this is a genuine drop in quality from that. So he's drawn wide, but as we said earlier, that might not be a disadvantage. I think if he can bring his best form, he's a really good chance to get that second race win on the board. And at $8, I think he's a really good value bet.
I tend to side with the favourite here with Marbusha. Showed some good form in the spring. It's been pretty damn good this prep as well. Win first up, fourth behind some pretty good horses in Isotope and Odium, second up, and then beating a lip in the Group 3 PJ Bell last start. So I think it's around the $4, $55 mark. So I'm going to just side with the favourite in Marbusha in this one, Mytho.
Again, I'm going to look for some value. I reckon we've found one here in Immortal Love. Was very stiff first up at Caulfield. Should have finished a lot closer and probably should have got the prize. Went to Flemington and was an even run, beaten under two lengths. Mick Price, no dummy, wouldn't be putting it on the big bird up to Queensland if it didn't have a winning chance here. Drawn well, it'll do me. Immortal Love at almost double figure odds, I reckon, Rain Man.
Moods.
I'm with Lord Olympus, the five, Mark Newnham, Michael Carl, good last start winner of the Mick Dipman. Two out of four on the soft, drawn the barrier where once again, it's not going to be dictated to. It gets back, will come wide, and won't get buried away on the fence like a few of these. So I thought his win was good the other day at Doomben, and he should be an excellent chance. And I think he's probably going to be double each way odds also. So I think he's going to give you a great sight, Lord Olympus, the five.
Been well backed early, Moods. He's into $6.50.
Well, not quite double each way odds, but, you know, I think he's been well found and should give you a great sight.
Barely each way odds. Let's have a look at Caulfield now. I mean, obviously most of the eyes will be on SA and Queensland on Saturday, but coming up in the last race at Caulfield, just an absolute boom horse, the highest rated horse in the race. That's Snickle Doodle Dandy Ayrton, and not the highest rated, highest rated horse in the race, but Ayrton, who's been unbelievable. It's the first two starts, just absolutely brained them. I think it was a Bendigo and then again at Caulfield on Boxing Day. They are headed to the Stradbroke. I've heard Mick's Price talk about this as a potential Cox Plate horse. We finally see him for the first time since Boxing Day on Saturday in a race where our very own Peter Moody has snickle-doodle dandy. Are you running for second, Peter?
Well, Ayrton, it looks outstanding, doesn't he? We've saw those sort of two slightly off-season wins by this New Zealand horse that's been with the Price Kent stable for his two runs, and he has looked super. His sectionals have been super. He's been tested in front at his last start, and he still ran one of the best last 600s of the day. So he does look outstanding. He's back to 1,200. His two wins have been 1,300 and 1,400, I think, from memory. 1,200 first up. He's had a jump out at Caulfield. He's had a trial at Echuca and then another jump out at Sandown. So he's very forward. Mick Price is looking to run this horse here Saturday and then go north. And there's a three-year-old race, which name just escapes me. It might be the Fred Best Classic.
Fred Best Classic, yep.
Yeah, one named after one of the great Queensland racing men. And that then guarantees the horse a run in the Stradbroke, which he is, I believe, ruling favourite for, which is quite astonishing for a horse that's had two starts for two wins. So obviously, ratings and experts around the country have him rated very highly. Mick Price is a little bit more reserved than his training partner, Mick Kent. And I think you might find that it's Mick Kent Jr. that's suggested Stradbrokes and Cox Plates, probably not Mick Price. He's been around the block a few more times and been to a few more rodeos than Mick Kent Jr. and probably a little bit more reserved. But Saturday's race should see him winning. I've got a nice filly in it called Snickerdoodle Dandy. First start from the stable, trained by a mate of mine in Perth, Dan Morton, but we've had her over here for about 3 months. He recommended the clients to send her over. She's a stakes-winning filly out of Western Australia, and we know that form holds very well here on the Eastern Seaboard. She's drawn wide. She'll get back. She'll be strong late. I'm not suggesting she can beat Ayrton, but she'll run extremely well, and I would suggest you could put her in your multiples and follow her with confidence. There's a chance she could even find a way to Queensland for a race or two coming up there in the not-too-distant future.
How many are you going to take the Queensland Moods?
Well, I've got a grand total of zero there at the moment.
Gimme Pa's going up there, though, isn't she?
Gimme Pa's been in the paddock for a week now, okay. And the racing.com team didn't pick up on that. But no doubt they will.
If you don't tell the racing.com team, they won't know.
Yeah, so no, I'll have a very light Queensland team and might have one or two up there in the later part of the carnival as we go up to the Magic Millions yearling sales and probably breeding sales with our great mates at Rosemont Stud. And so Snickerdoodle Dandy can run well, but certainly very excited about seeing what Ayrton does on his return here Saturday.
I reckon one of the more interesting points about Ayrton running in the last race at Caulfield is the rider. Jamie Carr, clearly she's elected to stay at Caulfield rather than go to a Group 1 meeting in South Australia in her native state or head to Queensland for the Hollandale. She could have had a lovely book of rides, you would imagine, at any of those. She wants to stick with Ayrton, but interestingly, Ayrton will get a weight that will prevent her from riding the horse in the Stradbroke. He'll be right down on the bare minimum when he moves, if he's able to make his way in through the Fred Best. He hasn't got time to get a rating up high enough to get Jamie Carr's weight. So that's what she thinks of this horse, that she's so taken with him and given the opportunity that she wants to glue herself to the saddle. As long as this horse gets her weight, she'll be obviously pretty keen to stick with it. And so just interesting that she's made that call. So I reckon the $1.60 is luxury odds and it goes in every single multi you can possibly put it in.
Yeah, Mytho's absolutely right. I can already hear the Ladbrokes bookies just absolutely shaking in their boots with the thought of Ayrton in the last year at Caulfield. As Mytho said, it's an anchor every multi. It's got Jamie Carr in the saddle, so everyone, all the Jamie Carr fans will be backing it non-stop. So, yeah, I think it's going to start well shorter than the $1.60. And I'm excited to see how it performs because I think it would be very exciting for the Brisbane Winter Carnival if we have a hype horse like Ayrton coming up for the Stradbroke Handicap. And as Moose sort of touched on, a lot of well-respected ratings experts have got an extremely high opinion of Ayrton. So really looking forward to seeing its return, and I'll be a little bit of mixed emotions because I know it'll be bad for the book, but I'm excited by the promise that this horse has.
They're not going to go broke, Ray, man. Don't worry.
I don't know. This could be a proper go, Rog.
I was surprised Jamie Carr can't ride light. I wasn't sure what her minimum riding weight is.
Well, I've got a feeling this horse will get sort of 49, 50 kilos in the Stradbroke, won't it?
Listen, I'm not sure what the minimum is these days in the Stradbroke, but I'm not sure what the conditions are of the Fred Best for him to get in. But I reckon Jamie would be making all endeavours to ride him if she possibly could. So interesting days ahead. If not, probably you would think Mick Price's old warrior, Froggy Hewitt, who's been called upon in a lot of big races for lightweights, might be the front runner.
Introducing our new Chief Entertainment Officer, Mike Iceberg.
Here's how your Ladbroke plays.
Never miss a minute of the action with Ladbroke's Bet Ticker. View a real-time stream of incoming bets, like the stock market, only interesting, all from the palm of your hand. Watch where the money moves and get the inside word on all the big bets across all your favourite events. Or head straight to an individual race or sporting event to get the inside word on who punters are backing.
Ladbroke it.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Back for the best bets here on Moody on the Mic, and to kick us off, as he always does, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. What do you got for us, Tommy?
Yeah, I found one at a bit of value this week, Rog. Want to take one out of the Moods playbook. Go to the Gold Coast Bracelet, which is race 6, number 16, Nothing Sweet About Me. So the Princess Stakes is the lead up to this race. I'm a little bit iffy on that form, and Nothing Sweet About Me is a lovely race filly that does bring a different form line into the race. So it started its career with 2 wins from as many starts, went into the Cumberland Grange Classic at its third race start and ran really well without winning. And I don't think this race is that much tougher. She's currently come out $16, so I think it's well and truly over the odds. She'll go forward, trained by Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bolt. William Pike's in the saddle. So I think she's a filly that does have a fair bit more upside than some of her rivals in this race. So I think she can run really, really well at the $16. A price I don't think will last. So I'd be locking that in as soon as possible.
I found it pretty hard to find a best bet this week. So I'm just going to say to the punters, not that you would follow me in with a great deal of confidence in most weeks, but maybe just I'm at about 50%. Ranch Hand, race 5, number 4 at the Gold Coast on Saturday. It's a 2-year-old race. There's always a risk with the 2-year-olds, but look, at one on debut and did like brained them and then beaten a lip second up and then 5th in the Magic Million 2-year-old race behind stablemate Shakiro. Had a bit of a break since, so you'd think he would have, you know, grown and got stronger since then. I'm willing to take a punt that he's just got a bit too much for his rivals here on Saturday. And I think he's paying about $3.50-ish. So race 5, number 4, the Gold Coast Ranch Hand.
I've got a couple of Rosemont horses to mention today, Rog, if you'll indulge me. There's a race at the coast, not the Gold Coast, and it's actually called the Coast. No one's ever heard of it. It's a race for 3 and 4-year-olds. It's a Gosford called the Coast, and it's worth $500,000 run over a mile. And why wouldn't you have as many horses in it as you possibly could? So we are heading there with All Saints Eve and her little sister, All Hallows Eve. Rain Man, where's this race come from? What the hell are they doing?
I just love that whenever we talk about these pop-up races, if Mytho doesn't have a runner, what a joke of a race. They're throwing money around willy-nilly. What a disgrace this is. As soon as Mytho has a runner in it, he's like, what a concept it is. The Coast, the Gong, the Hunter. I love them all as long as I can have a runner, have an interest. It's all about self-interest for you, isn't it, Mytho?
There's no interest like self-interest. There's no doubt about that. And anyway, we've got 2 live chances. In fact, All Saints Eve is the favourite, I see.
$6 favourite. There's 3 equal favourites at $6. So very, very open.
Well, Mytho, Mood said that she'd gone around in just about everything but a bloody egg and spoon race at, you know, Mount Gravatt or whatever. And, well, Mood, surely this classifies as an egg and spoon race.
Well, there's no doubt when it ran 4th in Gosford, first start that's preparation in a class 1, All Hallows Eve, that it was aimed at this race.
You knew it was going to come back to Gosford for it.
Yeah, it just happened to win that one at Randwick on the way through. Like, John O'Shea always had these races in the back of his mind, for these 2, and it's not an afterthought like we saw with the horse that started favourite in the Frank Packer the other day. What was his name?
Lions Roar.
The Lions Roar. It's not an afterthought like that. These two fillies were genuinely aimed at this race. It wasn't the half million carat that got he and the hungry owner, Anthony Mithen, there. It was the fact that they'd always aimed them at this race. So you've got to respect this deep-thoughted planning towards this gallop.
No, you do. And all respect to the coast. We've always wanted to win the coast.
You've always said that, Mithy. You've always said, I just want to win a coast one day.
I just want to win a coast. I've been talking about this for years. You know, dinner table, dinner parties, at the races. You know, you can have your Melbourne Cups. You can have your Golden Slippers. I just want to win a coast. And look, the day might happen on Saturday.
We can toast the coast.
Yes, but don't discount All Hallows Eve. She is low flying at the moment, so that'll be you'll be pleased to hear, Peter. That'll be the end of her preparation, and we'll get her ready for the spring. But
I'm very surprised Jamie Carr didn't get off Ayrton to go up there and ride after its blistering last start win, knowing that this horse was aimed at this race.
It was a little bit disappointing, but never mind. No. I see Bob the dog's got front and square there, Petey. When he goes out of shot there, he's not doing anything inappropriate, is he?
The only time we actually see Bob the dog is when Moods takes a drag and the cigarette lights up his face.
Bob the dog making an appearance on our Zoom call here to record Moody on the mic. I might have to tweet Bob the dog out. Give us a look at Bob the dog there, Moods. Look at him. I don't know which is the dog and which is Moods. And it's not because of the light. So anyway, you can back both those horses with confidence. They are flying, and a very confident report from John O'Shea just this morning. So All Saints Eve, All Hallows Eve in the coast at Gosford. But then race 8 in Adelaide.
Oh, shit, that wasn't even your best bet. Bloody hell, you're saying, can we indulge you? It's been 8 minutes.
Adelaide Guineas. If I wanted to win the coast, I longed to win the Adelaide Guineas. And way to go, Paula, could be that horse. Wasn't expecting Cherry Tortoni to turn up, but never mind. Way to go, Paula, in terrific form. Again, she hasn't skipped a beat. Tommy Stokes doing a good job over there in Adelaide while she's domiciled over there. And she'll run a top race. Way to go, Paula. Way to go, Paula!
Okay, Moods, we're finally, we're getting to you. What do you like?
Couple of stable runners this weekend. We've got Fighting Tio and Snickerdoodle Dandy, two horses having their first run for the stable at Caulfield. Fighting Tio, a little bit big round the belly like myself, will need the run. Snickerdoodle Dandy can run a place behind Ayrton, I believe, at good each-way odds. Bob's trying to lick me face here. My best for the weekend, we'll get in early at Caulfield. Race 1, horse number 6 spinning. She ran a very good second behind My Smart Filly Gimme Par last week. Had to go too far back in the six-horse field and just failed to run down Gimme Par, who I have a great opinion of. I think from the good draw this weekend, an extra 100 metres should see her winning. Any sort of a price there, Rain Man spinning?
Second favourite, Moods, $2.60.
The more you put on, the more you'll get back, as long as you do it responsibly with Ladbrokes punters. It's been a bit of a hard week for our Let Good Horses Run Fast. Young T.O. Nugent, he's an avid listener of our program. He let one run fast at Sandown last week. Just got nutted on the line and the stewards have got him in for over an inquiry. But, T.O., you only just missed. So next time you're out there and you're on a fast horse, son, you know what to do. Let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.